Hi, I'm Maggie Brennan, music director here at WCBE. We're excited to announce our new web exclusive, Live from Studio A Replay, where you can listen to some of our best Studio A sessions. We're dedicated to bringing you great music from around the world and from right here in Central Ohio. And that type of extraordinary service is only possible with your support. So please, consider making a donation of any amount by clicking the red donate button at the top of the page and keep the music going. And we thank you for your support.
JD McPherson joining us over in Studio A today. His debut release, Signs and Signifiers, came out in April. We're going to chat with him a bit today in the band and talk a little bit about the debut, what's on the horizon and all that good stuff. Welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having us. Very happy to be here.
Very happy. Very excited to see you and see this live here today. And then we'll talk more about things after we go to this first song from JD McPherson.
Just using me. Now I'm looking for love. I've got a mansion on you and a pocketbook packed to the hilt. I hop in my 59, I drive around the town, I pretend you're in it. I ain't got your love, it's all that I'm missing. No need to worry about me taking care of you. I'm gonna treat you like the queen I think you are. Pity the man that I catch disrespecting you. He's gonna know what it's like to swallow this guitar. I'm gonna make you my love. I've got a mansion on the hill. It's all that I'm missing. That I'm missing. I ain't got your love. It's all that I'm missing. I ain't got your love. It's all I'm missing.
Nice. JD McPherson over here in Studio A joining us today. And, you know, I always say McPherson. I go 50-50, but I believe it's McPherson.
It is McPherson. My Aunt Jeannie says there's no fear in McPherson.
And we just heard a track from that new album. It came out in April, Signs and Signifiers, but originally released a little back in 2010, so a little bit ago. And then there was wider distribution once you hooked up with Rounder Records.
Tell us about how
that happened.
I think what happened was, I can only speculate, it was an elaborate conspiracy. No, I think that we made a video for the single Northside Gal, and that definitely got passed around pretty quickly, and it started getting in the hands of some folks in the music industry. And the first people that approached us was our managers, and we heard from quite a few labels, but when we spoke with the folks at Rounder, we knew that was like a home run, and it's been an amazing experience working with those folks. And they've really done they've really done right by the record. They really believe in it, and they're really great to work with. They're complete. That label is a complete safe haven for artists. It's wonderful.
And from what I know, great, huge music fans for, you know, in
they're
all sorts of ways.
Absolutely music fans, yeah.
And some of the major labels that approached you, what kind of things did you get that deep into a conversation with them about what they would do with Rockabilly, or did that even, would they even know? Because
well,
there's not too many major labels.
I will say that, and we spoke to some extremely major labels, but I do think that they weren't 100% sure what to do with us. I think they liked what they were hearing, but they didn't really know. Didn't know what to do.
How to market it on their end. Right. Well, you found the perfect spot, I think.
Yeah,
Rounder
absolutely.
Records. And Northside Gal, as you mentioned, the video that kind of just took off. When the album came out in April, there was 350,000 views at that point, I read. And then I just looked it up, and it's more than doubled that. Isn't that just crazy? Did you think it would hit 100 when you first put it out there? You know, you never know.
Until it did, and then we're like, "What just happened?" You know, it was really fast. I mean, really, really fast. I mean, within like a couple of days, we were in the thousands. We're like, "What is going on here?" Because we just all we did was put it on Facebook once, and it just got started getting passed around. So who knows?
I know. Well, I love it. I love this album. I'm so excited to see you. I missed you at one of the conferences I was talking to you about, and so I'm thrilled to see you. And talk about the transition for you. You know, started off in punk when I think where you were living, it was pretty much a country, mainstream country world.
Yeah.
In Oklahoma.
There were three of us there, and we had bands, and we played in my buddy's dad's bedroom, rehearsed in there, and then we in order to be able to do that, we also had to back him up when he was ready to sing Conway Twitty songs. So we had a couple of genres blending in there. But I think a lot of folks that get into older music started off with something a little newer. I mean, I know a ton of bands from all over the place find great inspiration from folks that came before them. And I think that a lot of folks, when they really start digging for records and they start getting interested in, okay, well, this label puts out good stuff, I'm going to look out more stuff. Or, you know, who wrote this song? Maybe they wrote songs for other folks, that you'll end up getting back to blues-based music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you follow the line back, it kind of really, really goes back to the blues. Yeah. And that's right.
And there was a little record store, too, where you know, I'm sure you've been asked about the Buddy Holly stuff a few times.
Yeah.
But were you buying punk records and all sorts of other records there before, or was this just someplace you hopped into just once?
It was a little record store in McAllister called Noise Toys. It's no longer there, but the guy was there to sell, mostly to sell bass CDs for people that had mini trucks with big speakers in the back. You know, he would sell like the doon, 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 those things. And that was his thing, but he would order whatever I wanted. So, you know, I could order anything. And, but there was a girl that worked there that was from Dallas. And, you know, she might as well have been from New York City. And she said, "Hey, you know, I was getting rid of some of this stuff in the back. Maybe you'd like to check some of it out." And the Buddy Holly double disc was the one that I checked out. And I really, really liked it a lot. It kind of changed my whole thing. Because, I mean, it was like fun music. And it was energetic and enthusiastic, like, you know, the Ramones was, but it was from a country guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. That kind of started me on the path of looking out for that kind of stuff.
So a former art teacher, how former?
A year ago, right? A little over a year ago, or almost a year ago.
So once you started on this project, you were like, hung it up, or things got crazy with where you worked?
I've been saying my contract was not renewed at that job. And as you know, it happens for a lot of folks in the art teaching business.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the record, and Jimmy and I here, Jimmy Sutton here, we had been, you know, working on this record and trying to get a couple of festivals here and there. But as soon as I lost my job, we were like, okay, let's hit the road. Got to make some money. Got to make some money while I'm looking for another job, and ended up not looking for another job. So,
well, this is your job, right?
It is
here
my
you
job.
Go. Here you go. And it's
best
just,
job I ever had.
But the crazy series of events that leads to, you know, big fat bliss, really.
Yeah.
So that's good. Well, let's hear another one right now. JD McPherson over in Studio A.
Speaking of blues, we're going to do a cover we did on the record by Tiny Kennedy. This is called Country Boy.
Nothing but a country boy. I ain't nothing but a country boy. I ain't nothing but a country boy. Be a country boy the rest of my days. I ain't nothing but an old farmhand. I ain't nothing but an old farmhand. I ain't nothing but an old farmhand. I'll be a farmhand the rest of my days. For the rest of my day. Well, I work hard every year. I save my bread. Ain't gonna let you women go to my head. I ain't nothing but a country. I ain't nothing but a country boy. I ain't nothing but a country. Be a country boy the rest of my day.
J.D. McPherson over in Studio A today, and you just heard Country Boy, one of the two covers on the album Signs and Signifiers, with all the, you know, the great musicians out there, the great songs, the influences, you know, you've had. What's the selection process with covers for you?
It really was just kind of, it wasn't really heavily thought out, I don't think. I just really liked, first of all, the Bell Fury song that we covered was some good friends of ours down in Austin, Texas, that made this great record called Just Plain Lonesome. And my favorite song on that record, I always thought it'd be really cool to do it as a rhythm and blues kind of a version of it. And we thought it'd go over real big in the rock and roll dance halls too, right, Jimmy?
Yeah, so, that's right.
And Tiny Kennedy song, I liked the beat on the record, and I was like, we got to cop that beat, and ended up completely rearranging it. So
the beat.
Well, the metronome. What was the metronome in one
Talk
of the
about
songs?
The metronome, Jimmy.
Oh,
Jimmy?
The metronome?
Yeah, there was something about the beats and how you wanted to record it.
Yeah, I got laughed at for the
in
metronome.
In your studio, right? Your studio in Chicago is where this was recorded.
Yeah, it was just pretty much just a tool I used just to kind of hone in on making sure that we're consistent and just finding like good danceable rhythms. Because sometimes, I don't know, for some reason, a lot of my past experiences, you know, a lot of times tempos just got too fast or something, and every time I listen to like music that really has got a great dance rhythm, it's not as fast as you think. So it was just a tool for me just to keep everything in check. Okay. And I sometimes I would dance. I would dance with the metronome and go, is this good right here?
Right.
Woo, you know.
Yeah. Where's Jimmy? He'd be over in the corner dancing with the metronome.
And this is it. And so in the recording process, all analog, and talk about that and the difference in sounds it makes to you, more rich, more soulful, and the vintage instruments that you guys used. And use.
I think it's always better to be a pragmatist. Like when you're doing anything, and recording is. I mean, you can make good recordings with any equipment. But I definitely think that tube and tape equipment has a beautiful, rich mm-hmm. quality, and it's inspiring to be around that equipment. I mean, the equipment itself has got a. It like kind of exudes this vibe or something. I don't know.
It just almost like helped the process.
It does. Yeah. I think it does.
Because I remember like after we recorded the first song, JD and I walked into the control room and, you know, the first thing we heard, we're like, wow, it's already immediate results. Not like, hey, yeah, maybe we can fix that later on in the mix. It's, you know, it's a good start. No, it right when we heard it from the beginning, it was it really kind of like impressed us. So that kind of really helped the energy level of the whole for the rest of the week.
And with the vintage, I mean, there's just so much mystery behind it too. You know, so many stories that if they could talk, you know what what they would say. But yeah, I just love it. Again, thank you guys so much for being here. And
thanks for having us.
Well, just a couple more questions though before we go to the last song. About growing up in this small town, your family musicians.
Or my dad's a singer. He was a church singer, and. And my mom plays some piano and sings too, but my older brothers, especially my older brother John Aaron, was a serious guitar player, and he was the guy that got me into music at first. I wanted to be, you know, like him and play like him, and, you know, he was into, you know, the Allman Brothers and Led Zeppelin and Hendrix and all these kind of super, like, I mean, he was quite a bit older than I am, mm-hmm. and so he was a teenager when that stuff was really happening, And I still love all that stuff. I mean, I absolutely adore the Allman Brothers and all those guys, man. Those amazing players. But yeah, once I started getting into punk rock, that's sort of where we split on different. I asked him. I was like, "Hey, did you ever get into punk at all in the 70s?" And he just said, "No." And that was the end of that.
So you go your way, I'll go mine.
Yeah.
And what about the? Was it a cattle ranch you lived on in a place called Buffalo Valley?
That's exactly right.
Did you guys have chores and things? And
yes,
and
chores. Every morning at 5:30 a.m., I got up and went and put cubes or hay out for the cows. And that was pretty much all I did in the morning, I guess, and dread school.
And the school was very small, too, were you?
Yeah, I think they said when the school opened in the late 30s to like 2002, when they did this count, 500 people had passed through that school. I mean, it was, you know, the average of 8 to 10 people per class.
There's your band right there.
Yeah. Well,
if you
yeah.
have the same ideas. And your mom went to the
same
to the
school.
Same school.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, J.D. McPherson,
how'd
pleasure
you know
to
that?
I, you know, I do research.
Wow.
Sometimes.
That's
that is impressive.
Thanks.
Almost nervous. Makes me nervous a little bit. What else can you find out?
It's all out there. See what the web does? Well, thank you again for being here, guys. Thanks
Our
for
pleasure.
Loading everything in. Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah.
And what's this last one you're going to do for us?
We're going to do the single. We're going to do Northside Gal for the folks.
All right. Thanks again.